Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoff, and we're talking about a very common problem, often overlooked, with the potential consequence that you can require a liver transplant or even worse, develop liver cancer. It's fatty liver disease. And according to today's guest, Dr. Robert Rowntree, it may affect 30, 40% of the populace and is now affecting increasing number of kids, possibly because of sedentary lifestyle and poor dietary habits. So as we alluded to in part one, you go to a conventional doctor and you have NASH, and what pill can they give you? Is there a magic bullet treatment?
Well, I will tell you, drug companies wish they had a quick answer to that, because I happen to know that millions, tens of millions or maybe even more, are being spent by the pharmaceutical companies looking for a drug to treat fatty liver and NASH, especially NASH, because once a person develops NASH, then they're heading down a path that points directly at a liver transplant. And obviously, that's not something you want to do unless you really have to. So the drug companies are really, really aggressively pursuing this. Mm-hmm. The main approach that they've had so far is to simply lower blood sugar with drugs like metformin,
yeah,
or thiazolidine, diones or incretins or things like that, and then to use statins and fibrates. You know, so the idea
but
is, well, maybe
it doesn't make sense to use statins, because statins, actually, one of the signs of statin toxicity is that it raises your liver enzymes. So I would imagine that could be
problematic. It causes inflammation, and and statins are also harsh on your mitochondria, and it turns out mitochondrial dysfunction, you know, may be one of the core mechanisms involved in creating, you know, the chronic liver damage. So you're right, statins really wouldn't be my first choice.
Mm-hmm.
It turns out that, you know, what you really need to do is get the person to lose weight. Now, you know, if you come up with a magic drug for that, will you call me any time of day or night?
I will indeed. I got you on speed dial.
But, yeah, let me know immediately. You know, but I mean, it still needs to be said that if you lose 10% of your body weight, if you weigh 200 pounds, if you got fatty liver, you weigh 200 pounds and you lose 20 pounds, then you will significantly decrease the amount of fat in your liver. So you got to do that first, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's got to be the main focus is weight loss. That being said, studies where they've done head-to-head comparisons where one group with that had fatty liver were given nutritional counseling, told to lose weight, and the other group were given various supplements, then the supplement groups have done better in almost every single study.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I have to say that, you know, there are many situations in medicine where conventional treatment really is superior to natural treatment. You know, if I get run over by a truck here in New York crossing the street, I'm not going to go to an acupuncturist. You know, I don't think there's a better treatment than going to a major, you know, hospital for special surgery here and getting patched up. In fact, that happened to me once. I didn't get hit by a truck, but I crashed on my bike and broke my hip. And, you know, they did a great job. And there wasn't hardly any nutritional aspect to the treatment. But when it comes to this, our form of medicine, functional medicine, integrative medicine, natural medicine, call it what you will, is far superior to conventional medicine, which doesn't really have many answers.
There's really no question that functional medicine has terrific answers for this particular problem. I mean, really terrific answers. You don't have to look far in the research to find this. So I'm not just spouting this off the top of my head. You know, I started down this path a number of years ago, digging into the research, and I didn't really have any expectations. I was just curious. I said, okay, what am I going to find here? And I started finding study after study that pointed to specific nutrients as being very, very beneficial. The first thing that I found that really surprised me is that deficiency of choline is a major way to produce fatty liver. It's been known in animals for 20 years. So if you take animals and take the choline out of their diet, they will develop fatty liver. And studies that have looked, you know, the U.S. population, like the M. Haines study that determined how much choline people were eating, which you get from eggs and meats and things like that. It turns out only 10% of the population really gets the normal amount of choline every day.
So we want to supplement phosphatidylcholine or PC.
Yeah, so you can either take straight choline, and you know, choline is something that has been in prenatal supplements for years, and I strongly advocate putting it in prenatal supplements. But you know, outside of that, most people don't think about taking choline for eating choline or phosphatidylcholine. I'm a huge fan of using phosphatidylcholine or using nutrients that are bonded to phosphatidylcholine, like curcumin phytosome, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not just saying that. I got curious about what nutrients or herbs have been shown to help fatty liver. And so I typed in my friend Google curcumin and immediately came up with several studies that were done where they took people with fatty liver and they gave them curcumin phytosome, specifically curcumin phytosome. And in all three studies, they showed improvement in fatty liver.
And that is actually the brand name of the product that I use, and I think it's also by this same company, Thorn, is Meriva,
yep.
M-E-R-I-V-A.
Yep.
And I use that quite a lot. I use it, of course, for all manner of inflammatory conditions, arthritis and so on, and you know, for its cancer preventive effects. But specifically, since there is the curcumin is bonded to choline as part of the microencapsulation process, the delivery system, I guess there's dual benefits.
Yeah, it's a two-for-one is how I look at it.
Mm-hmm, cool.
And the studies that I found, I can easily give you the references as you want, but they're not hard to find.
We won't get too technical on it. Yeah. In fact, we should do...
too technical, but they didn't give much. That's all I wanted to say. They didn't give a lot.
We should do a little bit of a lightning round on this, because I know there are quite a lot of products. So let's go through them and tick them off, and you know, we can go into greater depth if we want later. But
okay.
What are some of the others?
So curcumin phytosome that's at the top of my list. Which the phytosome just means that it's bonded to phosphatidylcholine.
Mm-hmm.
Berberine, again, one of my all-time favorite supplements. Yep, several studies, animal studies and human studies showing benefits of berberine for the liver. Vitamin E, actually the American Association for Study of Liver Disease says that vitamin E should be first-line therapy.
Oh,
first-line therapy.
And
a mainstream medical group that says that.
And relatively high doses, because, you know, now people are a little freaked out by vitamin E and, you know, they say take 50 or 100, but you need higher doses to get a good effect in.
Yeah, you need a lot higher doses than that. I mean, you know, closer, somewhere between 400 to 1,000. The Association for Study of Liver Diseases says 800 units a day.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And if you look at the studies on this, there were no side effects from that. I think a lot of this stuff about vitamin E causing blood clots and other problems, I think is nonsense.
No, I've never seen that.
I just don't buy it. I've read those studies and I don't get it.
Okay.
You 800, 1,000, you know, pretty high doses. Some of the studies were combined the vitamin E with vitamin C.
Mm-hmm.
Some combined it with alpha lipoic acid.
Okay. That's a good one for
generally. Yep, it's a really good one. You know, we already know alpha lipoic acid is good for the liver. So you combine it with E and you combine it with C and you've got this dynamite combination. I think one of those studies of vitamin E was actually published in the New England Journal of Medicine.
Hmm.
So, you know, this is stuff in the mainstream
journals. Yeah, I do recall that.
Yep.
And I think they tried to compare it to metformin or something like that, and they found that the vitamin E was...
pioglitazone. It was pioglitazone.
Right.
Piven's trial.
Actos, right.
And vitamin E did as well as pioglitazone.
Yeah, yeah, a diabetes drug.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's also, and I think there's some controversy about this, green tea or EGCG. It kind of cuts both ways because there's some references that say, too much green tea can be toxic to the liver, but it's also, some studies suggest protection.
Yeah, I think it's the way the extraction is done. So AGCG is just one of the active ingredients in green tea. If you use a solvent to, you know, extract all the EGC out, then I'm a little concerned that that solvent might be liver toxic, and that's not just my speculation. You know, that's a lot of people that have looked at the reports of liver toxicity from green tea pretty much came to that same conclusion. Mm-hmm. So I'm more inclined to use a lower potency green tea or a green tea phytosome, which has never been shown to be associated with liver toxicity.
Or just drink some green tea. I mean, it's permissible to...
Yeah, or drink green tea, but you're going to need to... If you have fatty liver, you need to drink 3 to 5 cups a day.
Okay.
Or take matcha, which is the green tea, you know, powdered whole green tea. Mm-hmm. Matcha is actually a better way to go. I love matcha, you know, so mm-hmm. I don't have any hesitation recommending it to people. Mm-hmm. Other things on the list, omega-3 fatty acids,
okay.
Fish oil.
Mm-hmm.
Surprisingly, there are many published studies on it. You know, yeah, it's a fat. You're taking this, you know, long-chain fatty acid, and it's lowering fat in your liver. How much do you need? At least 2 grams a day to have an effect. Resveratrol, you know, the active ingredient in red wine. How much resveratrol do you need? Probably 50, 75, 100 milligrams a day to really get the full effect. So that would be a lot of red wine. You know, that would be a
which would be counterproductive. Yeah, you don't want to do that when you're having.
That would be counterproductive.
That, yeah, as you know, that makes sense. That's double trouble because those are two major causes of liver problem: excess alcohol and then the fatty liver. That's the nutritional type of fatty liver, and you get a synergy between those two processes, and your liver's not long for the world.
Right. Exactly. So that's why I'm a little bit more prone to recommend the supplement, the resveratrol. Another one, N-acetylcysteine or NAC.
NAC, yep.
You know, it's a precursor to glutathione. We know glutathione is good for the liver.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was a study where they combined NAC with metformin for people with fatty liver, and it actually seemed to be quite synergistic. So that's good news because there are a lot of diabetics that are taking metformin, and, you know, the NAC seems to be a perfect complement to the metformin. And the doses are not high, somewhere between 500 and 1,500 milligrams a day.
Are we still a fan of milk thistle for detoxing the liver?
A big fan. The problem with milk thistle is that it's very poorly absorbed.
Okay.
So, again, I know I keep mentioning these phytosomes. The studies on milk thistle for fatty liver, all the ones that showed a benefit, all use milk thistle phytosome.
Okay.
More technically, saliban phytosome.
Mm-hmm.
And usually in combination with vitamin E. So that combination seems to be particularly good.
Trimethylglycine.
And then last but not least, melatonin. Believe it or not, melatonin, you know, it's turning out to have beneficial effects across the board for a wide range of conditions.
Mm-hmm. And TMG or betaine or just beets, eating beets, is that advisable?
Yeah, I think that's reasonable. I don't know how many beets you'd have to eat to get a good amount of TMG. I take TMG powder myself. Mm-hmm. You know, I take it in a I take it as part of a methylation formula just because I'm genetically prone to having high homocysteine.
Right.
So I take it in that formula, but then just to hedge my bets, I take a little extra TMG in a powder as well. So, mm-hmm. I would typically give people a couple of grams a day of TMG.
And of course, probiotics, which we mentioned in part one, because the role of the intestinal toxicity going upstream to the liver, we want to clean that up and normalize the bacterial colonies.
Yeah, and it turns out it probably doesn't matter exactly what strains you use as long as you use a good hardy strain that gets past the stomach acid and ends up colonizing in the intestine or at least, you know, staying in there long enough to have an impact on the microbiome. So, you know, any really good quality probiotic could theoretically have a benefit here. I should also mention vitamin D. You know,
sure.
I'm sure you saw the editorial in the New York Times about 2 weeks ago that basically said, it's nonsense that nobody gets vitamin D deficiency. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, you know, there, that editorial ignored countless papers on vitamin D. And there actually are studies showing that people with metabolic syndrome or obesity, tend to have low vitamin D that tracks with fatty liver. So they're very, and people, if they've got metabolic syndrome and fatty liver, and the lower their vitamin D, the worse the fatty liver. Mm-hmm. No question. So those are people that I think they need their blood tested. Like, why are we telling people don't get your blood test because this is deficiency doesn't exist?
I think it comes back to the same theme we mentioned earlier, cost containment. It's like, I think they're getting hit up for too many vitamin D tests, and with the state of medical economics being what it is, and, you know, we're practically over the cliff in terms of financing our medical system, they're saying, you know, the test Nazis are saying, no vitamin D test for you, basically.
So, we will bury our heads in the sand and hope that somehow works.
Exactly. Okay, so conversely, there are, you know, you can go wrong. You can walk into a health food store and mostly the supplements are beneficial, but you can go wrong with a couple of supplements. So where should people look out for supplements that maybe have a deleterious effect on this, things possibly to avoid?
On the liver. Well, I don't know if there's that many things that I would say you should stay away from.
I'm thinking high-dose vitamin A.
Vitamin A.
Yeah, maybe
niacin.
Yeah,
vitamin A.
You know, high-dose niacin.
Yes and no. Yeah, yes and no. Neither one of those has been associated with fatty liver. Too much vitamin A can definitely cause liver damage.
Yeah.
But again, I think it's a bit overrated. Mm-hmm. I do measure vitamin A levels, or, you know, more accurately called retinol. I do measure that in my patients. After many years of avoiding vitamin A supplements, I'm not talking about beta carotene, but I mean, you know, the real vitamin A, I avoided it like the plague for years because, you know, there were so many warnings out in the literature that we were going to cause liver damage. And then I got convinced from reading a number of papers that wasn't such a good idea because there's a big chunk of the population that doesn't convert a beta carotene into vitamin A. They've got a genetic variant that keeps that from happening. And those people need 10,000 units of A a day. But I don't think anybody's going to get into problems taking 10,000 units of A.
And one other
right? They get into problem taking 100,000.
Yeah, for sure. One other that I'm thinking of is iron supplementation. And I think that's something we tend to take for granted, that unless you've got an iron deficiency, you probably shouldn't be taking a lot of supplemental iron, unless perhaps you're a premenopausal woman, or maybe for prenatal purposes. But let's say you already have some degree of liver damage. You probably don't want to be overloading on vitamin D, particularly if you're a male, or if you're a postmenopausal woman. Do you agree?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Your point about iron, I think, is very well taken, because we know that people who have a genetic variant that predisposes them to iron overload are more prone to getting fatty liver.
Okay.
So iron overload is a risk factor for fatty liver, definitely. And if a person has fatty liver, they need to be very, very careful taking an iron supplement. They probably should avoid it unless, you know, they've been documented to be anemic. You know, it's a little bit of a paradox because iron deficiency is very common, especially in young girls. But on the other hand, older people don't really lose iron, so they don't have that much need for iron. Even though, you know, those of us who are old enough remember the ads for Geritol and iron poor blood, you know.
And, like, you know, some people felt great because they were iron deficient, but maybe they were doing a disservice to others who already had iron overload. So it was kind of a one-size-fits-all approach that really didn't match the needs of everyone. Okay, let's pause for a moment because I want to allow one of our sponsors to offer a little bit of an announcement, and then we'll return and wrap up.
This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Zona Plus, an effective non-drug treatment for high blood pressure. It's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure naturally, and it's so effective it works for 9 in 10 people. The Zona Plus is a high-tech smart device that guides you through a patented therapy that's personalized to your unique physiology. To find out more, go to tryzona.com or call toll-free 888-408-8255. 6141. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, you can get $50 off and free shipping. Just use the coupon code Hoffman at checkout at tryzona.com.
Okay, thanks, folks, for listening. Thanks for supporting our sponsors. And so on the subject of fatty liver disease, what's today's Intelligent Medicine take-home message, Dr. Rountree?
Well, I think the take-home message is if you're overweight or you're diabetic or even pre-diabetic, there's a pretty good chance that you've got fatty liver. And there's a pretty good chance that your doctor hasn't really broached the subject or talked about it. So the first thing is to ask, you know, to get the basic tests, the liver function tests, the transaminases, and the GGT is kind of the first step to taking a look at seeing whether you might be in a more advanced stage. And if you are, then to ask for an ultrasound. So, you know, this may be one of those things that's going to be driven by patients who are reading about the studies and saying, hey, I want to get in early on this and make sure that I'm dealing with it. And then what can they do? Well, obviously cutting out high fructose corn syrup is, you know, something that everyone should do. There's just no reason to eat it. I mean, it doesn't provide any nutritional benefit. Why do it? So, you know, if that's part of your diet, cut it out now. And then the second thing is to consider adding a supplement like curcumin, vitamin E, omega-3 fatty acids, probiotics, really simple things that probably everyone would benefit from anyway. And again, to be maybe tracking those blood tests if they're abnormal and seeing what kind of difference it makes.
And I'll put in a self-serving plug here. Get under the care of a nutritionally oriented practitioner who understands this condition.
Yes.
And very likely may have been trained by you, Dr. Rountree, because you're one of the go-to guys. You provide professional education to health practitioners as part of the Institute for Functional Medicine. So where can people get more resources on this subject? Do you have a website, or can you point them in a direction?
Well, I don't have a website, but, you know, probably just going through the Institute for Functional Medicine is a pretty good start.
Okay.
Functionalmedicine.org. And I've also been lecturing on this at conferences around the country. I just lectured in Vancouver, British Columbia on it. So there's, you know, and typically, the conferences are either recording the lecture or, you know, at least putting the PowerPoint together. So, you know, just Googling me and that topic, I'm sure you'll get a number of hits.
Maybe somewhere on YouTube, there's an excerpt from one of your talks on that subject. Great.
And I also know that, I know that Thorne Research has got some resources on that. So Thorne would be another really good place to go.
At Thorne.com?
Thorne.com,
Okay. Yeah, and for our listening audience, Thorne is, you know, I'm eclectic. I use supplements from a variety of manufacturers, but one of my favorite companies is Thorne. And Thorne sells to nutritional, health practitioners. So generally, the products are not available at, you know, your usual health food chains. You get them usually under the guidance and supervision of a health practitioner. And they're more potent, and they're high quality. And frankly, their price point is a little greater than what you might find at Costco or Walmart. But I think you really need to look to quality when you buy nutritional supplements, because, you know, it may have the name of something that you're interested in, but quality matters. And, you know, just because it says vitamin E or green tea or, you know, whatever, it may not deliver the benefits of something that's really well-researched and produced by a very reputable manufacturer. That's my plug for Thorne. Okay.
Sure, thank you. Thank you.
Okay. So thank you very much for joining us. And all the best, you know, our paths will cross soon.
I certainly hope so, and I expect that will happen.
Indeed. Thank you, Dr. Robert Rountree. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.